believers that God has called us a lot of times to step into realms that we're not really prepared for. Amen? Have you ever been called by God to do that? I don't know about you, but it seems like all the time I get called to step into a realm not that familiar with, but God's saying, go in my power, go in my strength. I think of the Apostle Paul. They were all set to go into Asia one day. And that night before they were set to go, he had a dream, and there was a man in Macedonia who said, come over here and minister to us. All their plans got tossed to the side. They had to redo their plans. But he followed what God asked them to do, and they had an incredible time there. Many, many people. In fact, Christianity got, that was actually an implantation of the first gospel seed into the continent of Europe. So if you know your history, just incredible how it spread from there. So I was just thinking all during praise and worship, what is the realm that God has called us into that we're not familiar with? Because when you start serving Christ, he's going to call you to get into that ring. You're unprepared, but that's exactly how he wants it. Because we're not going to boast on what we can do. We're going to boast on what he does through us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Are you ready to step into that ring unprepared and just say, God, here I am, use me. And I may get pummeled. I may get beat. I may come out of this with bruises and a busted nose. But I'm going into that ring for you. Have your way with me. Amen. Let's pray for Pastor John.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. And Father, we pray this morning that as we enter into that realm of the unknown, that you would equip us. Lord, that you would give us vision, that you would give us strength. But we also know, too, that you've empowered us. And Lord, if you be for us, who can be against us? Father, we pray right now for the ministry of the word. We pray for Pastor John as he brings it forth. Let there be words of encouragement. Let there be an impartation of faith. Father, let there just be an impartation of obedience also on our part. Father, we ask it and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been listening to the news last week, there was another item besides the big fight. Over the past few days, the big story was Hurricane Harvey. And we learned how it was coming in, and it was supposed to be this, and it was, when it first hit shore, it was a Category 4 hurricane, which is very, it can be very devastating. And, they said it was going to have up to 40 inches of rain and all kinds of flooding and power outages and 130-mile-hour winds, and it would last for days. Now, it's not that strong. Now it's a tropical storm, but the fact is it's still causing a lot of problems. And the people that got hit at the beginning, there was an island where people lived. Pretty much everything got wiped out there. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about this message today, I was it brought to mind a very similar situation that's in the Word. And it's talking about the Apostle Paul. And if you remember the story, it's found in Acts chapter 7. And Paul is on a ship that was headed to Rome. And he was a prisoner. He had been arrested under false charges, and he had appealed to Caesar. So he was going to Rome, and he gets on this ship. It starts out smooth, but then things begin to change. And I'm starting in verse 14, chapter 27, and it says, "Before very long, a wind of hurricane force, called a northeaster, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed on the lee of a small island called Caudia, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to try to hold it together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard." You don't do that if you don't have to. Now you're going to lose all the money. Who knows what you're going to have to do. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard, all the netting and all the sails and all the tackle, the stuff that holds it together, and where they're able to, they had to get rid of all the weight they could. And they threw it with their own hands. And then neither, it says, the sun or the stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. And it says, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. This is Paul. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. He was the one that was out there with them. I imagine that some of the people down on the coast of Texas, that were right there on the coast when that hurricane hit, that's probably how they felt. If you remember back in Katrina, I'm sure that's how they felt. Have you ever felt like that yourself? Maybe you're just in way over your head. You feel like there's just no way out. Maybe it's money problems or marriage problems or kid problems or sickness or disease or whatever it is, and you just feel like I just can't see my way out of this. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, and you just feel like you have no hope. All hope is lost. Well, in the natural, when those guys were on that ship, it looked like they were doomed. But then something happened. Later that night, Paul had a visitor, and it was an angel of the Lord, and this visitor totally changed his perspective about everything that was going on. He no longer put his hope in the strength of the ship, but he changed his whole sight, and he began to put his hope in the Lord. But now, he says in verse 22, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, of the God to whom I belong and who I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. His hope was now in God. So this went on for 14 more days. Raging storms, rain just pouring down, couldn't see the stars, the sun, the moon, or nothing. Just this torrential storm and rain pouring down. 14 days at sea. But Paul knew what God had promised, and he kept his eye on God. He kept his hope in the Lord. And eventually, we know that every single one of them safely made it to shore. The ship was destroyed, but they landed safe. All the men landed safe on an island called Malta. And the people there were very kind to them, and they came and they helped them. And in fact, the entire island was converted to Christianity. See how God works? I'll bet the men on the boat never forgot that time. Over 2 weeks of nothing but fear and fearing fear of death and fear of like just destruction and just the ship going crazy and probably almost being washed overboard. You can imagine those guys, what they went through, believing that they had no hope. But for some reason, because of what Paul told them, they hung on. Ephesians 2:12 tells us to remember a time when we were separate from Christ, without hope and without God in the world. You see, we were at one time, whether we realized it or not, and many of us didn't realize it, we were also, every one of us, were without hope in this world. We were without God, so we were without hope. Today, I couldn't imagine living my life without God. Once we know God, once we understand Him and know what He's done for us and who He is, there's no way that we could be without Him and then without have. If I was without God, I would just feel hopeless. If all of a sudden God told me, listen, you're not mine anymore, I don't want you. Could you imagine what that would be like? I couldn't do it. If you knew there was no hope whatsoever, why even stay around? Without hope, there's no desire to go forward. There's no hope to hang on. There's no hope to advance. There's no desire to do much of anything. That's why we need God so much. Have you ever felt like that? Weak and tired and weary and discouraged, feeling like hope is gone? If you've ever felt this way, or maybe there's somebody in here that might feel that way even right now, there's help. God is our help. Who do we turn to in times of trouble. It's God. Isaiah 40, verse 28, it's a great scripture. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." Here's the key verse, part of that verse. "But those who hope in the Lord, those who put their hope in God, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We have no hope apart from God. When we're feeling hopeless, when we're feeling down, those who turn to the Lord, those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we're down, we need to go to God. God wants to help us. He went so far as to literally die for us. He tells us in His Word, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives us strength, but we have to put our hope in Him for that to happen. We have to trust Him. This hope that we're talking about is more important than we realize. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not like, oh, I hope I win the raffle or I hope I win the lottery. It's not like that. Romans 5:5 tells us that this is a hope that will not disappoint us. You see, the hope that God's talking about isn't a wish. It isn't a dream. It's a reality. The hope that God is talking about is a confident expectation of things to come. A confident expectation of things to come, because our hope is not in the passing things of this world, but in God. It causes us to look ahead with eager expectation. It should. It's always an expectation of future good. I know Pastor Don, when I was gone on vacation, for a couple weeks, he spoke about enthusiasm. And being filled with hope will give us an enthusiastic outlook on life. Hope makes us look forward to the future, forward to tomorrow, to better days. Where does that hope come from? The type of hope we're talking about can only come from one place. Only one place, and that's God. That's why Romans 15:13 calls Him the God of hope. The God of hope. The God of hope. Our hope should always turn our attention to God. Our focus should never be on things. We can't put our hope in things. Our hope has to be in God, in His will, in His kingdom. Our relationship with God is the ultimate source of all hope. It's the source, the original source, the ultimate source. God's desire is to fill our hearts with hope. He wants us to be filled with hope. He wants to let us know that there is an amazing future in Him. Wonderful things await us in Him as we follow Him. The more we follow Him, the more amazing it will be. We all know the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. That wasn't spoken to us. I know that. But it's still a principle of God's that God has plans for us. And he has plans to prosper us and to not to harm us. God doesn't want to harm us. He doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to prosper us. He wants to give us a hope and a future. He knew us before we were born. He knew us while we were still in our mother's womb. He knew us before our mother was born. And he already had plans for us then. Good plans. So how do we get hold of this hope? By getting hold of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, a merciful Father, he has given us new birth into a living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was through the death and the resurrection of Jesus that this hope was made possible for us. Had Jesus not died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, we would have no hope. And it's because of our Father's great mercy that we were able then to be born again, born into this living hope. It's a living hope because it's centered on a living Christ, a living Savior, a living Jesus. And when we're born again, we become alive in Christ. A person who is spiritually dead, they can't have the same hope we have. They can't possess or even comprehend a living hope, a confident expectation of things to come. They don't know what's coming. They have no confidence in the future, and so in fear, in worry, in doubt, they try to accumulate everything they can. But Proverbs 11:7 says, "When a wicked man dies, his hope perishes. All he expected from his power comes to nothing." Now that's scary. The hope that we possess goes beyond the grave. It's an eternal hope that is rooted in an eternal God. When a Christian dies, it's not like the wicked man where hope perishes. When a Christian dies, our hope is fulfilled. It's like the climax. It's the epitome. It's the top of the chain. We get it. When we die, our hope is fulfilled. Then we no longer have to deal with sin. We now no longer have to deal with sickness. We have a new body, a new spiritual body with supernatural abilities. There's no more pain or suffering or tears or doubt or worry or anger or threat, nothing. There's no problem anymore. And so our hope is totally fulfilled. And that hope is certain as long as we remain in Christ. But even now, we are being changed from glory to glory. We have the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit, we have God living in us, so our hope is not limited to something that starts at death. This hope that we're talking about doesn't just begin when we die. It began when we were born again. So we have a living hope that is alive within us the very minute we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. So how do we do it? How do we walk in this hope? Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope, there it is again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope in the power of the Spirit. That's an important thought right there. A fact. That we can overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the power and the ability to walk in this hope from God, to be able to function and live and think and know, understand about this hope, to have it in our heart and in our mind and in our spirit. And did you notice what it also said in that scripture, that God wants us to be overflowing not only with hope, but He also wants us to be filled with joy and peace? People that have hope should have joy and be able to be at peace. No matter what we're going through, no matter what storm we're in, the world that we live in has enough tragedy and despair and hopelessness. God wants His people, us, to be a people of hope, bringing a message of hope to all the desperate people that are out there in the world that don't know about it. We live in a time right now when there is a lot of fear, a lot of hopelessness, a lot of anxiety. And we know the answer. It is the Holy Spirit who fills us with hope. Remember when Jesus was leaving the earth? He knew He was going. He knew He was going to die. And His disciples, right before and after He died, I mean, they were filled with fear. They were filled with, after He died, with sorrow, with despair. They didn't know what to do. They were going back to fishing, going whatever. But when the promised Holy Spirit came, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, everything changed. That fear, that anxiety, that worry, that hopelessness was gone. And then they knew that everything that Jesus had said was true. Jesus had told them in John 14:26, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. You see, the Holy Spirit, that's part of His job. He's always working in us and trying to lead us and guide us. And He's always speaking to us and trying to bring back the Word of God, and put it in our mind, the things that Jesus tried to teach us, the things He's spoken to us, the things that God has implanted into our heart. The Holy Spirit keeps bringing it back so we can have our hope restored constantly, continually. Now the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into all truth so that we know. We don't listen to the lies. We don't listen to the deceptions. We don't listen to the deceiver himself, the father of lies, who has done nothing but lie and deceive since the beginning of time on this earth. The Holy Spirit comforts us. He encourages us. He leads us into the truth, and He causes us to overflow with hope as we allow ourselves to be led by Him. God wants us to be a people who are filled with hope, always looking for the best. Looking for the best in people, the best in the days to come, the best outcome of whatever situation we're in, seeing God in all those situations, expecting that God has greater things in store for us. We need to trust God. Trust God. The more we trust God, the greater our hope will be. That's a key statement there. The more we put our trust in God, the more we go to Him, the more we trust Him, we love Him and realize His love for us, the greater our hope will be for what is to come. There is no hope that God inspires in us that He cannot or will not satisfy. In God, our hope is certain. Even in the midst of tragedies, if our hope is in God, we will not be overcome. I had a conversation with somebody just a few weeks ago, a lady that some of you in here knew. Her name was Joni. Those of you who knew her, you know who I'm talking about. She just died of cancer a couple months ago, not even that, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was. And I had talked to her on the phone throughout her cancer, called her up. She hadn't been a part of the church for probably 10 or 12 years, but I still kept in contact with her. Good woman. And she put her hope in God. And some people felt like, you know, she maybe went overboard because she said, you know, I'm still believing in a healing. And she goes, and then I talked to her one day and she says, you know, Pastor John, she goes, I'm not being foolish. I'm not thinking that I'm going to be healed, and if that doesn't work out, then I'm lost and God's had failed me and stuff. She goes, no, that's not at all. Not it at all. She goes, here's the thing. She goes, I'm believing in the healing because no matter what happens to me, I'm going down fighting. I'm going down hanging on to my Lord, or I'm going to rise back up hanging on to my Lord, either in my bodily health or in the resurrection with Him. She goes, and I really don't care. She goes, I'm ready either way, but I'm not going to just give up and lay around and moan and groan and complain and think that all is lost, because all is not lost. So I will continue to pray and ask God to heal me. And I said, Joni, I'll be right there with you, praying and asking God to heal you. Because, you know, God can heal us at the last moment if He wants to. So why should we give up? How many times has God come through at the last moment? How many times have people given up and missed out on that blessing? She didn't miss out on any blessing. She trusted in God till the moment she died. And yes, she died. And when she died, believe me, she wasn't sad about it. She was the happiest she'd ever been in her life. And I was really interested in talking to her husband. I didn't really know him very well, but we ended up talking for about a half an hour at the funeral home. And he was right there with her. He understood where she was coming from. And I said, how are you doing? He says, you know, I'm actually doing really well. Yeah, I miss Joni, but I truly know and believe where she's at. So, see, they both put their hope in God. They were convinced. They knew that it was, they had a confident expectation that God would do the right thing, whatever that would be. And you know what? He did. The right thing for her was to go home. It'd been nice if she stayed, but God brought her home. Who are we to tell God what to do? We can ask all day long. We can pray. We're told to pray without ceasing, so we pray without ceasing. But God still is God. We know we're going to have problems in this life. That's a promise of God. Jesus said it in John 16:33. But even as He told us we're going to have problems, He said, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Or take heart, in some verses it says, like we sang in that first song. Take heart. Don't worry about it because I've overcome the world. In the end, nothing is going to get you. I got your back is what He's saying. Put your hope in Me is what He's saying. God wants us to soar on wings like eagles, as we read in Isaiah. To not be faint, to not be weary, but instead to renew our strength in Him. Every day. The promise is for all those, it says, who put their hope in God. Those who put their hope in God will renew their strength. It's a promise for you and me. We can't put our hope in the world. The world will let you down every single time, sooner or later. Try putting your hope in politics. Try putting your hope in banks. Try putting your hope even in people. Yes, people let us down. We all have let people down. It doesn't matter what you put your hope in. If it's not God, if it's something in this world, it's going to let you down. One way or another. But when we put our hope in God, the hope that we have from God will never pass away. It will not disappoint us. It is certain. That's why it says in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Does that sound like a wish? An anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The hope from God is a confident expectation of things to come. When we face the storms of life and the winds and the wave are blowing all around us, whether we're down in Texas or when we were people that were in Katrina, or whether it was Paul and all the soldiers and people on that ship, and we feel like we're ready to sink, we have to remember that we have that hope from God that is an anchor for our soul. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. Then we have to get back. We have to be led by the Spirit again, back into that harbor of peace, into that safe harbor where our hope is. Remember, God protected him on that boat. Just like he promised, not one life was lost. Somehow, all those men made it to shore. Even the ones who couldn't swim. I bet there were some on there who couldn't swim. Somehow they found some wood or somebody dragged them ashore. Somehow, every one of them made it to shore after over 2 weeks of torrential storms. And who was glorified in that? Was it the shipbuilder? No. Was it Paul? No. Was it the boss of that ship? No. It was God. God received the glory. As long as we put our hope in God, our hope will be sure. Anything less than that is risky. So Hebrews 10:23 tells us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. There it is again. A faithfulness in the hope. So we got to understand, our hope in God will not disappoint. It's not a wish. It's not a dream. It's a fact. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. I was reading a story about a man named Edward Mote. He was walking to work one day, all the way back in 1834, and a thought began to pop into his head, and he wrote songs. And he wanted to write a hymn. He started writing this hymn about this gracious experience of a Christian. And it says, as he walked up the road, he had a chorus in mind, on Christ the solid rock I stand. And we know the song, I'm sure you've all maybe heard it, where it says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock. I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So later that week, after he had written quite a bit of that song, he'd stuck it in his vest pocket. He went to visit a friend of his whose his wife was very sick. She was dying. And she wanted to sing some songs. But they didn't have any songs in the house. So he pulled out that song, that hymn. And he began to sing it to her. And she loved the song so much, she said, could I have the song? He says, it's not finished yet. So when he realized how much comfort it gave to that woman, he went home and finished the song. Came back and gave it to her. Shortly thereafter, she passed away. But it helped her to keep her hope. Put her hope in God. If I could have the prayer team come forward. So we have to be honest with ourselves. What have we put our hope in? Where do we put our energy? What are we putting our hope in? What are we trusting to give us a better future? Is it our pension? Is it Social Security? Our savings? Our kids? Our home? Prestige? Our name? Our power? What is it that we're hoping that will make life good for us? There's only one thing. Remember what Jesus, when Jesus was talking to Mary and Martha? Oh, Martha, Martha. There's many things that we could be concerned about, but there's only one thing that's important. And Mary has chosen the better thing, and that was Jesus. Putting our hope in Jesus. There's nothing more important. That's where we have to put our hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that you have given us reason to hope. That you are the God of hope. That you have brought us into a living hope through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that every one of us would hold unswervingly to this hope that we profess, because we know that you will not disappoint us. Help us, Lord, to put our hope in you, to turn to you, to trust in you, to love you, to honor you, to constantly be brought back, to be reminded once again, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us back to the source of our hope. Lord, we honor you. We love you. Fill us up, even today, once again. Lord, I pray that you would fill every single person here with a newfound hope in life and even in death. A hope in you. A hope that will not disappoint. A confident expectation. Great things to come. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Longing just to, that will bless you. A song in itself is not